Hello, hello, and welcome again, sisters, to Return of the Priestess. It's good to have you back. This is Dawn Delvecchio, your host and facilitating priestess. And I am so pleased today that we will get to talk about awakening the divine feminine on earth. And before we go there, let us ground and center with some breaths together. So if it's safe to do so, you can go ahead and close your eyes. I'm going to close my eyes. And I invite you to place one hand on your womb space and one hand on your heart, if that feels good to you. And let's take a breath together. Breathing in. Bringing yourself home to yourself. And exhaling to settle in. Become present. And again, breathing in, letting the breath be the vehicle to bring you into this sacred circle of sisters around the earth, and exhaling to extend your senses to feel us gathered together. And again, breathing in. And exhaling to come fully into this moment together, and you can open your eyes. So today, as I said, we are going to be exploring a little bit more deeply about this awakening of the divine feminine on earth. And our speaker today is Sujata Nandi. So let me tell you a little about her, and then we'll welcome her on. Sujata is the founder and editor of the only Asian yoga magazine in the world. She is also the author of Awakening the Divine Feminine and offers Divine Feminine Facilitator Certification courses to transfer the wisdom of the goddess traditions of the world. So, welcome and so good to have you here, Sujata. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. Thank you. I'm so excited.
I'm so excited to have you, and you're joining us from Malaysia.
I am.
Correct?
Yes.
Great. Yeah. And so I wanted to start by asking you to share with our listeners, with our sisters around the world here, how you came to be doing the sacred feminine work that you do.
Okay. Thank you for that question. I think at age 9, many things started happening to me which I couldn't comprehend. And what happened was I used to be able to speak to statues, or rather they were telling me things, and whatever idols we had at home in the altar were literally breathing, blinking, and they were moving their lips, and I was able to understand the language they spoke, you know. And for a while I thought maybe this was just something that, you know, it happened only at home. But whenever I went out of the house to temples or to people's houses and they had their altars, I would hear the idols in their altars calling me as well to tell me what was going on in these people's houses, you know, and what are the things they were unhappy about, and what they were unhappy about. So I, for a long time, I used to express this to my parents, and they used to think that I was just a menace, you know. They were like, oh gosh, we are not taking you to that man's house again, you know, because you're going to be, you know, just misbehaving. And so I was suppressed for the longest of time, because they were afraid of this, you know. They were afraid of the prophecies. They were afraid of what I knew. And they just felt that it was just a possession of sorts, you know. And I mean, today I would say it is a possession of sorts. Only that it was not a negative one. It was a positive one, you know. As opposed to being possessed demonly, you know. And so what happened was, as I started growing and I came to age 13, I believe what happened was there was this goddess Kali's temple that I was praying in, and she literally just looked at me and she says, come closer. But I was not allowed to go to that place because it was the place allocated only for those offering prayers. Okay, so I was just this 13-year-old kid minding my own business in the background, and then she says, come closer. And here I was thinking, you know, okay, imaginary friends, maybe this is something I'm just, you know, hearing randomly. It could be anybody else. It's not the statue. But then she was blinking and she was smiling. There was really a face that was moving in that statue. And what happened was she said to me something that really blew me away. And she said, at that time, you've got to trust that this is happening to you. You've just got to trust it. And I will not let anything happen to you.
Oh, looks like you froze. You've got to trust that this is happening to you. Let's see if she comes back.
And so I decided to trust, you know, I mean, what else was there to do? And so I went closer, and there was this red hibiscus that was on her garland, and she literally drops it, right? So this flower is falling, and she says, pick it up, that's yours, and keep it with you at all times, okay? So I picked it up, and there's this priest looking at me, and for some reason, nobody objected to what I was doing at this close. You know, I was literally face to face to her, and there was no objections from the crowd that I was standing with. And the supposed, you know, this is the quadrant for priests, this is the quadrant for the commoners. There was no line, there was no boundaries. I was able to go to her, pick up that flower, and then walk away with it. And ever since then, age 13 was when I started having premonitions. I was able to hear things, whispers in the winds. I was able to even see many things. It used to frighten me a lot because I couldn't comprehend it. My family thought, because they didn't know what it was, they felt this was something like a demon possession. Hmm. And so it got suppressed again until I went to law school. And when I was in law school in the UK, there was a question that was given to me the night before my examination, and it appeared in golden words, okay? And the question was, the decision to make on fighting for justice or doing this for the greater good of the self, whether I wanted to pursue the legal studies for the greater good of the self, or whether it was simply to fight for justice. And I had to pass that threshold, sit for the examination, and they even said, you're going to make it through this examination, so you're going to be fine, yeah? But you need to answer this question by the time you finish your LLB degree. So when I finished the LLB degree, the question was, do you want to do this for money's sake? If you're going to be doing it for money, you're not going to be one of those lawyers out there. So what happened was I joined the legal aid, because now I knew that this is not a money thing. It was literally to fight and defend, you know, right? So I joined the legal aid, and I went into much of family matters. I went into a lot of governmental issues, because they were encroaching into the indigenous people's lifestyle. They were literally taking large parts of the country and turning it into development, and therefore, you know, sending the natives of the land to nothingness. They were being chased out of their own homeland, you know. Yeah. And I saw and I understood then why it was pertinent for me to make that answer, because I hadn't answered it, you know. And I felt that this is why, you know, I couldn't make money out of this industry. Mm. I had to be the voice of the weak, you know. Mm. So mostly the kind of work I did legally was to defend the natives. And it was fantastic because they taught me so many other things to connect with the with the finer things, as they call it, the very ingrained energies of nature, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore the shamanism that I was exposed to maybe at age 22 was what I literally learned while I was being this legal aid officer to the shamans of the country, you know, my land. And that's that. And ever since then, I've had a temple where I have all the Shakti goddesses in, and they still talk to me. We have daily conversations. There are times I'm delinquent and I don't do my rituals on a daily basis. Maybe I should be a little bit more stringent. But more than anything else, I find that they are part of me, you know. Mm. When I go into trance state, I am them and they are me. So what happens is I don't need to go to a certain place for me to activate this. They are ingrained in my very fiber. So there is no ritual really required for us or for anybody to just do something that is out of the norm. We can only do what we are humanly possible to do, you know, what's humanly possible. And so even when I'm talking to you, there's Lakshmi sitting right in front of me, and she's literally telling me what I need to tell you. So yeah, so there's so much that's going on. There's whispers, there's all of them literally telling me so many things. So this is my life. Yeah.
Wow, what an extraordinary story. I have sat in front of statues before and wished to have the experience that you have, you know, looking at my goddess statues. Sometimes. Please talk to me.
Sometimes it's frightening. Sometimes
I bet it is.
Because sometimes when I was growing up, dolls used to be able to talk to me as well. It's like Chucky, you know.
Oh, that would be scary. Yes.
Yeah, Annabelle and all those things. So can you imagine when you're having this doll and they're literally telling you what goes on in a household? You know, who's saying what to whom and how that man treats his wife. So it's a lot to process, you know. And I was just a very young girl. So I was claimed to be mentally challenged, mentally disturbed, you know. Because I was literally speaking to the wind. I was speaking to trees, for heaven's sakes, you know.
So how blessed that you were able to connect with the shamans.
Yes. It's all her plan. Nothing happens without her will.
Yes, beautiful. So there's so many directions we could go here, but I want to dive into more about how you take this deep connection with the mother and the Shakti goddesses and do that work with others. So if you would tell us a little bit, like when you say awakening the divine feminine, what does that mean to you? And what do you see women go through as you take them through the process, your process, how you work with them?
Okay. To begin with, I feel that much of what has happened in my life has happened purely based on what they've told me to do. I've just been a vehicle, you know? Mm-hmm. At age 7, I nearly died, and I was given 72 hours to show some kind of a progress. And for some reason, my father said when he went back home and he stood in the altar, he heard a voice saying, nothing's going to happen to her, you know, not without our will. And so he took a lot of faith in that. He took a lot of respite from that. And sure enough, I'm here, you know. And what has happened is over the process of time, I have been doing a lot of healing. Now, every form of medicine that I have created, every form of healing modality that I have used, it's all archaic to me. And it's all unknown to me because I don't know the formula, but it has been whispered in my ear. It has been told to me, take this item, put that item together, blend them together and make it into a concoction and tell that lady who needs it for her cancer treatment. And then likewise with whomever who comes to the temple for whatever healing they require, what are the things that they need to remove even from a business partnership that they are enduring, you know? So there are many aspects in which I have used the modalities of Shaktiism to cure, repair and undo, so to speak. Okay. Now, what has happened is in the process of time, when it came to the divine feminine aspect of things, it is literally bringing things to balance. Now, our entire planet is working on a lopsided state of affairs. Mm-hmm. The balance is what Prakriti is what nature is. And so what is happening is nature is rotating in her fullest balanced state. And here's this human beings who are rotating against that balance because we are seeking our stand. We are seeking our own version of what gives us that sense of comfort, that sense of protection. And we are literally going against the flow. Mm. Now, what happens is the key ingredient in awakening the divine feminine is to not empower the woman to stand up against herself or against her man, but to love herself and him fiercely. Okay. Which is one of the things I say to the women who will come to my Awakening the Divine Feminine class. I'm not teaching you to leave your man or to literally shout at him and tell him I don't need you, but I'm teaching you to go home and love him greatly. Okay. Because only when you have that aspect of you expanded, only when you are able to look beyond the aspect of what you need is when you're able to engulf everything and therefore absorb everything in totality. And that's the state of balance. Mm-hmm. I think when we are seeking that validation, when we are seeking what about me, you know, that compartment in our lives, we tend to come to our imbalance state. We go into our yang state, our masculine state, which is demanding, you know. But what if we married the masculine and the feminine and came to the center of our being? And that is what a lot of us are not doing. Mm. So we tend to want to be that powerful woman, but in being that powerful woman, we are relying on our masculine state, you know. In being that powerful mother, we have to actually truly be in our yin and the yang, you know. Otherwise, we're not able to give all of ourselves to our children if we are not in that balanced state of affairs.
Yes, beautifully put. Thank you. So would you talk to us a little bit more about the Shakti goddesses? Who are they and how do you work with them in the temple beyond what you've described so far?
Thank you. The word Shakti literally means power. It's it means power, it means movement, it means dynamism. But in the Hindu tradition, Shakti is referred to as the mother goddess, the mother, okay? Why? Because the mother goddess, the mother element is what nurtures, the mother element is what nourishes, provides, you know? So the entire nature that exists is the mother element. So anything that we see, that's why we call it Mother Earth, because she is Shakti herself, you know? Anything that's moving, anything that is existing is a feminine energy. So now, if you look at Shiva and Shakti, the word Shiva itself, if you remove the word I, it means Shwa, means dead corpse.
Oh. Right?
So now I puts Shiva into action and I comes from Shakti. So Shakti puts Shiva into motion. Mm. So even with Shiva, right, from a dead corpse, he is mobilized by Shakti. Without mm-hmm. Shakti, nothing rotates. Now, in my mandir, we have all the variants of the goddess. We have Kali as the presiding goddess. We have Durga. We have Lakshmi, Saraswati, and just about all the Sri Chakra goddesses. This is the chakra itself, which has been there. And what has been happening in this mandir is I have been teaching different modalities of the Devi Mahatmyam, which is a very old textbook that has been used for the highest form of Shakti worship.
Mm.
And the Devi Mahatmyam is a 12,000-year-old textbook. Okay? It is literally teaches you how to enhance every aspect of the Shakti within your body. There are in total 108 goddesses residing in different parts of our body. And this book highlights, invokes, and activates every one of them. So they even reside in our eyelashes, they reside in our earlobes, they reside in every part of us. Okay, so when we are chanting this on a daily basis, and these are Sanskrit texts, literally, which I had to learn, I don't know how, miraculously. And so I'm teaching people in the temple how to come to their activated self so that they are free of diseases, they are free of the problems in life. Now, it is said that when you chant the Devi Mahatmyam, the next that comes from the Devi Mahatmyam is the Lalita Sahasranam. So what happens in this temple is we are literally transcending the women from not just householders, but from becoming the actual Shaktis in their lives. So when we have young girls, mothers, daughters, grandparents, and ladies who come in here, we literally activate every single goddess in every part of the body.
Wow. Okay?
When we invoke that, we then go into something we call the Yoni Puja, where we actually have the ritual of the Yoni prayers, you know. And when that is activated, the woman is ensured of freedom from womb disorders, freedom from anything that causes, situations with her relationships, because the Yoni then is so active, it knows how to choose the linga that is associated to its yoni.
Beautiful.
So you are rid of all the problems of having to choose the man of your life, because the yoni then is activated to choose the partner it needs.
Wow. So is this, wow, this is amazing. So is this an experience that women, they have to be working with you for some time to go through all of this?
They are selected. Not everybody goes through the whole process because this is it is serious work. It is serious, you know. Mm-hmm. And I've given it to many people. I've noticed that in a crowd of 10, there will be probably just one who turns up. And so what happens is when I'm telling everyone about this whole process, they're all excited. Yes, yes, I want it. But the work itself, they are not able to do. So which is why now, as I have come along the path, I've realized that this is the wisdom that I can only give to those who are ready for it, you know? So sometimes we are ready, but we don't have the energy to complete this. Mm-hmm. So now the selection process has become even more stringent,
And how, what kind of period of time are we talking about here to complete this, to go through this journey? Is this like a year-long process? Is it a weekend?
This becomes your lifelong practice for yourself. But you start seeing results within 21 days. You start seeing changes. You become a magnet to attracting everything you need. Your business improves, your stature, fame, everything starts changing in 21 days.
Wow.
But it is 21 days of hard work. We're literally sitting there for 5 to 6 hours a time.
Oh, I see. And with you through that period of time, you're taking them. Yes. Wow. So that's quite an intensive, immersive experience.
For sure. It's literally walking away from everything that exists around you, your children, your family, and just going into the whole process. And it's not easy. It's not easy because even some of the young girls who tend to come for this, for this session, they find that, you know, it is a lot to ask from them because they are literally having to leave their mom and dad behind, you know, and it's like literally yanking them out of the normalcy of living and then giving me 5 to 6 hours. It's not even giving themselves, you know, 5 to 6 hours of just going within, forgetting whatever exists. But I'll tell you one thing. These are school-going girls. These are people who are in university, and they say to me, when it comes to the examination, I felt I did not write that paper at all, you know? And everyone who's been struggling with their finance, struggling to get that promotion, somehow or the other, they are looking at me and they're like, Sujata, I can't believe I've been offered this. And it's like a huge chunk of a promotion. I mean, it is, I have seen in the 20 years of me teaching this wisdom, I have seen how people have just moved from strength to strength and they're just going higher, just being consistent with this 5 to 6 hours. Now, again, initially it starts 5 to 6 hours because of the pronunciation, the understanding of the subject matter, but eventually it just comes back down to our daily practice of just 2.5 hours. And what's 2.5 hours? What's 2.5 hours after the process of time? Yeah.
Right, right. Wow. Amazing. Yeah, they become complete vessels for the goddess to move through them. Beautiful. Wow. So thank you for sharing all of this amazing stuff. Now, do you have an experience you want to take us through now? I know it won't be a 5-hour thing, but some way that we can just have a little bit of a taste of working with you.
Okay. If you could just come to whatever state of comfort you wish to be in, whether you want to sit on the floor, whether you want to sit back on your chair, and just close your eyes for a moment. And just surrender all the tension in the shoulders. Let go of all that stress that you may be having in your forehead, around your eyes, around your face and jaws. And just coming to a state of just beingness. Taking a deep breath all the way and taking this breath all the way to your navel space. And hold this breath here. Inflating your belly. Ensuring that this prana, this shakti that is swirling in your navel space is now activating that space in your navel with the umbilical cord connecting you to Mother Nature. And now gently drawing this breath all the way up to your chests, to your throat, and releasing out through your nostrils, letting it all go, surrendering what serves you no more. And then coming back to your normal state of breathing, bringing everything back to your balance state. If you can just go back, bringing your awareness to your navel space, that umbilical connection that you once had with your mother. Feel this umbilical connection with this grand expansion of the universe. Feeling this energetic flow of energy flowing through and from you, allowing this energy to swirl, allowing this energy to transcend and draw with whatever healing you require, taking it all the way to your womb space, taking it all the way into your bloodstream, and surrendering to this transcension, surrendering to this ascension as well, allowing. And what has happened here is, if you can just allow this energy to permeate the entirety of your being, surrendering to this energy. And whatever you need to release through this umbilical connection, whatever old habits, maybe the habit to cringe and bicker, maybe the habit to judge people or even yourself, the habit to be so hard on yourself, the habit to worry. Surrender all these habits, surrender all that serves you no more into this umbilical cord and release it into the universe. This is not you. This is not who you are meant to be. Just allow this to leave you. Empty your vessel so that you are able to receive more. And when you have let go completely, take in a deep breath one more time and send it all the way to your navel space. Inflate your belly as you do this. And as you have inflated your belly, hold this breath here. This time feel the umbilical cord coming back into your navel space, holding this umbilical cord at your navel center, placing both your palms in this space. And now releasing this breath in a hum. Mm-hmm. just allowing this breath to go, vibrating your body, activating your navel space for whatever else you wish to invite into your life. You are beyond what you see. You are the highest manifest ever created. You are that magic that is the divine. You are that magic that is all there is. There is nothing beyond you. You are the universe. You are a goddess. Stay in this space, feeling that energy rotate all the way into your womb space, allowing her to rest, allowing her to be within you. Allow, allow, allow. Now taking a deep breath all the way towards your navel space again, reminding yourself that whenever you want to activate this process, it only takes this breath to activate it. And now release this breath altogether, letting it all go. Placing your hand in namaste at the center of your forehead, giving you the vision to see and to receive all the blessings there is in this planet. May you receive the blessings of the goddess. May you become the blessing of the goddess. Placing your namaste in the center of your heart. May you always have the wisdom to see, to be, and to do good. Loka samasta sukhino bhavantu. May there be peace in your life. May you be the peace in all of existence. Namaste. I invite you to bring your awareness to this space, to you, to the grandeur that your existence means to you, and to everything else that exists in your life. And when you have brought that awareness, you may invite the light back into your eyes. Namaste.
Namaste. Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. That was gorgeous.
Thank you.
Wow. Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Sujata, how can women find out more about your work if they want to get connected with you?
They can find me on sujatanandi.com. They can just find all my work in there. And I also am right now having a course even for the Divine Masculine, because I feel that attending just to the Divine Feminine is not enough to bring this planet back to her balanced state. Say Shiva and Shakti must move in tandem. Otherwise, one cannot exist without the other.
Beautiful.
And so, yeah, Sujata Nandi is a good .com is a good place to find me at. Yeah.
Great, great. Thank you. Sisters, please share in the Facebook group your experience. And if any of you have also had experiences of, you know, this embodiment of the goddess or these statues talking to you, it would be really wonderful to hear if others have had that. And again, my thanks to you, Sujata. It's been an honor and a pleasure. I look forward to meeting you when I'm in KL this summer.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yes, and I'm attending your events, so if there's any, yes.
Thank you.
And sisters, we will see you on the next call. So thank you for being here, and many blessings until soon.
Thank you. Thank you.